This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Can we bring him in? Mike Tenenbaum, our resident general manager. There's so much to do, and New York football really is a disaster right now. Mike, we welcome you in. I know you're hydrated and healthy, and we say good morning. How you doing?
Doing great, guys. Good to be with you.
All right, so let's start with the Giants. We'll get to the Jets. There's a lot of real positivity we'll bring to the show today. I mean, the Barkley injury, it's so destructive. You thought he was going to be the bell cow this year. He's not going to be, obviously. I guess the question is, does this change anything future-wise for the Giants? Do you think they still look internally and say, this is our running back of the future, or year three wiped out, we don't know what he'll be year four, that it's now kind of a wait-and-see approach as far as Barkley's concerned?
You know, David, I don't think there's any getting away from the fact that this guy is immensely talented, high character. I thought he was going to really respond well to the criticism about his pass protection. And it does go to the, you know, what we've been talking about, this classical, do you pay the running back discussion? And we just saw recently Alvin Kamara, Christian McCaffrey get paid, Dalvin Cook get paid. But this is a little bit of a cautionary tale. And, you know, we've seen other guys, as we've discussed, Todd Gurley, Devontae Freeman, David Johnson signed these lucrative deals, and then they move on to other teams. So if I was the Giants, and I kind of put this out there on social, which is I unfortunately have a lot of experience with this. It's really going to take him 2 years to get back to being the same player that he was.
So you're looking at year five. That's great. Mike, I guess the biggest question for a Giants fan would be, what does this do for Daniel Jones? Like, how negative is the effect this has on Daniel Jones moving forward?
You don't work for me. This is an opportunity. You want to be a franchise quarterback? You elevate everybody. Greatness is defined by how you impact others. You want this to be your team. Eli graduated. Saquon's not available. You're the guy. You know, and everyone's going to look to you. When they look to your left, look to your right. You know, Coach Parcells used to put it best. We're looking for a battlefield commander. We're not looking for somebody that's worrying about their brand. We're not somebody that's interested in their clicks and their Twitter followers. We want somebody that could be a battlefield commander. So the pen is in your hand. What kind of script do you want to write? So if I'm Daniel Jones, I see this as an opportunity.
Mr. T, with no Saquon Barkley, you have to adjust the expectations for the Giants in the way of wins and losses. But I guess my question to you would be, what characterizes a successful season for Big Blue?
Yeah, you know, Chris, to me, like, they have to get much better on third down. Like, when you go back to the game against Chicago, I thought on both sides of the ball, their weaknesses showed up. They couldn't get off the field on third down. Leonard Williams, to me, is a consequential player for them. He has to play better. He has to be a guy that could generate some pressure. You know, we know their secondary is going to struggle. And on the other side of the ball, they're going to have to figure out a way to convert. And they have players. They have Evan Ingram and Deion Lewis. Those should be third down players for them. But they have to get that fixed. And if they do that, I think they'll be, you know, more competitive. I would throw the record out, Chris. I think there's ways that we could see if their young players are getting better. I think there's a number of good young players on that team.
So what do you think ultimately, Mike Tenenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN, the Giants do this season at running back? Do they bring in Freeman? Is it a Gallman, maybe Freeman, Deion Lewis combination? Is there a bell cow, or is it just ride the hot hand game in and game out?
Yeah, and it's interesting with someone like Devontae Freeman, because he is a very talented back, but let's face it, like, going to the playoffs is going to be, you know, an uphill battle for them. So to me, I would try to play as many of those young players and develop them for the future. And this is when you want to be scouring the waiver wire, looking at other teams' practice squads, and see if you can find, like, another young running back that could be part of the future after the season. But no doubt Freeman could come in, at least, you know, stay the ship. He's a very productive, talented back.
Yeah, but Mike, it feels like the Giants, and you're probably right, but I feel like the Giants are going to try to their best to, you know, to continue to develop Daniel Jones and protect their young quarterback, give him the weapons he needs, unlike the New York Jets. So here's my question, and be honest. When you looked at this Jets team before the season even started, before the atrocities we've seen in week one and week two, did you look at the offensive side of the ball and think that Sam Darnold had enough to have the kind of success that he needed to this season?
I thought when you think about Le'Veon Bell, Jamerson Crowder in particular, and maybe the development of Chris Herndon, I thought they could have been at least a middle-of-the-pack team as it relates to offense. Now, to me, Rick, when you go back to that game on Sunday, to me, the bigger issue is, like, what happened on the first play of the game? And here's what I mean specifically. The Shanahans, Kyle and Mike Shanahan, for 30 years have been around the league known as an outside zone toss running team. And on the very first play of the game, Raheem Mostert goes 80 yards for a touchdown and not touched. And Chris, you know this as a former player, everything going on that sidelines are like, do we have confidence in the game plan? Like, are we prepared to play? And that to me was, look, Sam Darnold is not perfect by any stretch, but when you go back to that game, their first six possessions are touchdown, punt, touchdown, touchdown, field goal. That's hard to win if you have Johnny Unitas on the other side of the field.
Mr. T, Adam Gase defended the decision that he made in the third quarter, down three scores to kick a field goal and still be down three scores as opposed to going for it on fourth and seven. Do you feel like that was a misstep by him to try to double down on the decision that he made?
Yeah, Chris, you know, after post-game press conferences are tough for any losing head coach in the league, especially in New York. So knowing Adam the way I do, no one's going to be more critical on himself than he will be. And he'll look back at that and say, you know, was that the right decision? And he'll learn from that. But look, that was surely a smaller bump in the road. They got to get their defense to me. Like, that's if they could at least get slow down the other side, that'll give their offense a chance to have some margin for error. But right now, Sam Darnold's going to have to play perfect. And, you know, look, they're devastated at receivers with injuries. And I'm not making excuses. They do have to play better. But I was much more alarmed by how that defense started the game.
But, Mike, I guess I asked that question because, yeah, the defense needs to play better and the offense needs to be better. But I think you also have to look at the head coach and say that he needs to be better. If Adam Gase isn't willing to take accountability for the mistakes that he makes in the games, how can he expect the players to do so?
Yeah, and that's fair. And I think one of the things he does, whether it's right or wrong, is he really compartmentalizes messages. And I've seen him, you know, again, I was with him for 3 years in Miami, get up in front of the team and said, hey, I should have done X or Y better. So I've seen him hold himself accountable, and whether or not we think it's appropriate, he tends not to do that publicly, but he does that with his team.
But he's doing that in the media. He's doing the opposite of that. In the media, he's spinning it as, okay, the guys have got to execute better. The players need to be better. I wouldn't change any of my play calls. They just need to play better. I mean, to me, that doesn't sound like a head coach that's willing to take responsibility for the product that we're seeing on the field Sunday, each week in, week out.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Again,
I don't want my head coach to do it behind closed doors. I mean, if you're going to talk about your faults behind closed doors, why can't you do it in the media?
Yeah, no, Chris, that's fair. Again, I've just seen his style where he wants to keep family business, and he talks about things internally where, again, I've seen him say things like, I have to do better. And again, your point's well taken that maybe he should share more of that publicly, but especially in the New York market, but that's just not something that, you know, he's typically done in his career.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. I heard you say it yesterday. I heard the sound of it, and I just want to kind of ask you again and expand on the question a little bit. If the Jets do wind up with a disaster of a season, it feels like we're heading in that direction. They wind up with the number one pick. Is it even a debate for you? Like, is it with unequivocally Trevor Lawrence? Is that even a front office conversation in your mind? Is he just far and away the better prospect than Sam Darnold? Is there any way you could be convinced of, you know what, maybe you get a haul for that pick and you trade out of it? Or is it just clearly Lawrence at the number one spot?
Yeah, so just to put context around what you're saying, Dave, like we're a million miles away, right?
I understand.
Go Jackson. Yeah, Jacksonville was on the clock. You know, now they look like the surprise team of the season. So, yes, I think Trevor Lawrence should be the first pick in the draft, regardless of whoever has that pick, including the Jets. Now, look, we'll see a lot more of Sam Darnold over the next 14 weeks, but I see Trevor Lawrence much better than the last three number one picks, Kyle Murray, Baker Mayfield, Joe Burrow. I see him a lot like Andrew Luck. I think he's a generational talent, and whoever unfortunately has to have the first pick, they could turn their franchise around for the next 10 years because I see greatness in him, and I think he's the absolute no-brainer first pick overall.
Yeah, unless the Jets find a way to ruin him too, which they have a long history of doing. Mike Tannenbaum joins us here in the show. Speaking of young stud quarterbacks, Mike, how hard would it be for you as the general manager of the Los Angeles Chargers to see what you saw from Justin Herbert in week two and go back to Tyrod Taylor as your starting quarterback?
Yeah, and as you guys know, I've liked Justin Herbert for the last 2 years. I think he's a young Ben Roethlisberger, and you know, we're in a win business, and it's unfair maybe how it happened, but you got to play the best players. And again, you know, Chris, we've talked about this before. In our sport, the locker room is going to hold the coaching staff and the front office accountable, and they want to win. And, you know, Herbert was not perfect. He made a really bad interception, but, boy, there was a lot of good things. And if we're in the business of playing the best players, I'm playing Herbert.
Mr. T, through 2 weeks of the regular season, we have 11 undefeated teams and we've got 11 winless teams. Who's the team that's not as good as their start might suggest, and who's the team that's better than starting 0-2?
Yeah, to me, those are pretty easy. I think Chicago is nowhere close to being a 2-0 team, and they're maybe 3 or 4 plays away. It's certainly a DeAndre Swift drop from being at least 1-1. So I don't see much really improvement in Trubisky, maybe a little bit. That throw to Anthony Miller on opening day was a really good throw outside the numbers, down the field. That was an NFL throw. 0-2, probably Houston just because, I believe in Deshaun Watson, but, there's a number of things they have to get cleaned up. But, in fairness, they started off with Kansas City and Baltimore. So just based on their schedule alone, Chris, I would put Houston in that conversation.
All right, we have a great game this Monday night. I mean, you could argue game of the year. Chiefs and Ravens, will have it on ESPN. I mean, I know it's early. I know we're still 6 days before, but we're not going to speak to you again before that game. Where do you go in this one, Kansas City and Baltimore?
Dave, if it was a normal sort of like environment, I would say Baltimore because place would just be popping. But, home field just isn't the same right now with the pandemic. And, I think, is that not a good description, Rick?
No, I think he appreciates you using the word popping.
I loved it. This is why you're the best.
The other words, Ricky. So that's why I think Kansas City is the better team. If they play 10 times, I think Kansas City wins 6 or 7. Of the 10, but it should be a great game. And, I think it could be a little bit like the New England-Seattle game where, hey, 4th and 1, let's put the ball on the 1 yard line. Here comes Cam Newton. One team wins, one team loses. And I'd love to see a similar ending with either Mahomes or Lamar Jackson. It should be a great game.
Mike Tannenbaum joins us here on the show. I'm going to actually ask you about the game we saw last night. Dave likes to jump forward a week. How concerned are you with Drew Brees and this New Orleans offense?
I am, and I put something out this morning, like his yards per attempt is like at historically low numbers. Now, look, they didn't have Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas may be the best receiver in the sport, and let's give him the benefit of the doubt. But here's the problem, Rick. If Drew Brees can't get the ball down the field, and I know that, trust me, the opposing defensive coordinator knows that. And what happens is, and again, Rex Ryan and Eric Mangini, some of the really smart defensive guys I've worked with, that compresses the field, and now all of a sudden those windows get smaller and smaller. So that some stats don't tell a story. That one does, in my opinion. And if I'm a Saints fan, I'm very concerned that Brees can't get the ball down the field.
Mike, I want to go back to the game on Sunday night between the Seahawks and the Patriots. In Week 1, Cam Newton impressed us with the way that he was able to be a part of that rush offense from the Patriots, but on Sunday, I mean, the guy put on an aerial show. I can't remember the last time I seen Cam Newton with that kind of zip on his passes. What did you see from Cam that makes him so much better than the Cam Newton we saw in the last couple of years down in Carolina?
Yeah, I think it's a number of things, Chris. I think it's health. I think having a year off really helped him from getting his body right. And again, I think we're going to be talking about the comeback player of the year. I think New England's going to win the division. I think we're going to be talking in the next couple of weeks amongst us guys about, hey, when's that Cam Newton extension going to get done? Mm-hmm. And he looks like the same player he was a couple of years ago. And I think what's so hard now is if you're playing New England, they don't have great weapons on the outside, but he's getting the ball with accuracy and timing. Like, that passing game looked really crisp, and it's only going to get better, again, with the lack of reps due to the pandemic. And maybe it's New England. We're talking about the Giants picking up a back for Saquon Barkley. Maybe it's, New England picking up Allen Robinson, let's say, or some other frontline receiver to try to get them over the hump.
Odell.
Did that a year ago with Muhammad. Yeah. Boy, that'd be interesting. They tried that a year ago with Muhammad Sanu. Obviously, that one didn't work out, so I'm really encouraged by Cam Newton. I love those stories. It's redemptive. A guy humbled himself, took very little money, bet on himself. Like, to me, that's what sports is all about.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. You've been pretty ardent about not loving Josh Allen. He looks unbelievable 2 weeks into the season. Now, granted, it's the Jets in Miami. Are you changing your tune at all with the young quarterback?
Yeah, I would say he's improving. He's making some of the throws that he had not made in the past, Dave, but I'm still, I think there's a lot of room for improvement. He missed some throws that Russell Wilson doesn't miss. Aaron Rodgers doesn't miss, so it's better. It's still not where it needs to be, and he's played well. He made some big-time throws against Miami in a very tough divisional game, but I like him. I don't love him.
Mike Tannenbaum joins us here on the show. The segment's been popping, by the way, Mike. last one for me, potentially. You know, Dave believes that the AFC is loaded. I believe the NFC
You know what, Mike? I said the AFC is loaded. I think Pittsburgh's terrific.
Time
I think Baltimore's terrific. I think Kansas City's terrific. I do. I think Buffalo has a chance to be very, very good. I think the top of the AFC is loaded, yes.
Could I ask my
Stand
question,
by
please?
It. No, okay. I'm sick of me. You're making fun of him with popping. You're making fun of me with the AFC loaded. You got Chris with Garrett Cole. You're making fun of everybody today.
All right, so here's the question. Mike, when you look at the NFC, which I believe is a little bit deeper than the AFC, are the Seattle Seahawks the best team right now in the NFC?
I think so. I think they have the best player in the sport, and so I would say yes. Now, their pass rush has some flaws to it, but there's a lot to like about it.
Mike, is Gardner Minshew a true franchise quarterback, or is he always going to be one of those starters that you're looking to replace?
Yeah, I think we got to trust our eyes on that one, Chris, and he's played way better than I expected, and good for him. And Miami has a good defense, and that game is Thursday night, Miami and Jacksonville. We'll know more about Minshew, but boy, you talk about compelling stories. Cam Newton's number one, but Jacksonville is they're going to be a tougher out than people think. You know, they beat Indy; he threw one incompletion, and they brought Tennessee all the way down to the wire.
Mike, you're using words like popping. You sound really energized and kind of reinvigorated. is something going on? Are you on like an energy drink or something this week?
Yeah, well, it's all natural, Dave. It's X2 Performance. Go to the website, x2performance.com. It's all natural. It's clean. It's healthy. I use it every day. I know a lot of professional players use it in a couple different sports. So, guys, check it out. You'll like it. It's natural. There's no crash, no jitters. So check it out.
All right. Rick, do you have one more? I don't want to.
No, he's the best. I mean, he's said it all. He's done it all today.
He really has.
This is why he's my favorite. I love him.
Yep. You are certainly on our
list. You say that to every guest, Rick, but
I don't. Dave, do I say that to every guest?
No, he does not. There's a few that we really love. There are a few we love. We love Paul Feinbaum. You're also in that category. We're big fans of you.
Well, I like that. Paul's pretty good. That's a very high threshold. So
how's the Sunday morning show going with Chris and Anita? Be honest.
Well, I would say ask Chris to evaluate me. You know, I felt like I started off as just as a replacement play, like the expanded rosters with COVID this year. So hopefully I'm earning my spot,
Chris, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's no question about it. Love doing Sunday mornings with Mike T previewing the NFL. Stop.
What happens? Let me ask you a question. What happens when Anita leaves? Do you guys just, Chris, do you end up driving the show?
Yes. I end up driving the show. Often off the rails, but yeah, that's what happens.
Hey, Rick, I'm just along for the ride. I'm just happy to be there. So, there's not much else I could have beyond that.
That's pretty much what I do every single day, Mike.
There you go. We've heard good things about the show, though. Mike, good stuff. Remain energized. We'll talk to you next week. We always appreciate it.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. That, of course, is a peppy, a poppin', Mike Tennant.
Poppin'. Right? That was so good.
Have you ever heard a stadium referred to like that, though? M&T
that
Bank
Baltimore
Stadium
would have been
popping.
No.
Right?
No.
Would have been just popping.
Not for Mike Tannenbaum, no.
No, we're not expecting that. All right, but 2020, anything can happen. Today on ESPN Daily, the Miami Heat are just, they're only two wins away from the NBA Finals. Get inside the mind of Miami star Jimmy Butler. See if he's ready for next level success. That's ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts. All right. Timing is perfect. It's right at 10:30. We have plenty of time. Rick, the floor is yours.
All right, here we go, fellas. Got a Tuesday NFL edition of Cuddle, Marry, Trash. And because I'm going to stick with what's going on here in New York, I'm going to start with most devastating injury of week two. Most devastating injury of week two. I'm going to give you Saquon Barkley, Nicky Bosa, or Christian McCaffrey.
All right. Chris, I'll go first here.
Okay.
I'm going to say, and you're going to be surprised by this, I'm going to marry Nicky Bosa. And I'll tell you
why. Socially acceptable. I would marry them.
Because that's a team with legitimate Super Bowl expectations. I think those take a monster hit without Nick Bosa. He is one of the best defensive players in all of football. So I'll marry him. I'll cuddle Saquon. A,
bombs.
He's out for the year.
Hellacious seeds.
McCaffrey's just going to be right 4-6. B, it's a devastating injury. And you heard Mike Tannenbaum say he doesn't know, you know, what level he'll be at next year. So I will cuddle Saquon. And he was the key to the Giants having a decent season. He's out now. God knows what happens moving forward. McCaffrey is certainly a loss. He's the huge piece to that team. But they're awful anyway. With him, they're bad. Without him, they're going to be bad. So I will trash Christian McCaffrey.
We can move on to the next category because I agree with Dave across the board.
Boom.
You know what? I will say this, though. The one scary thing with Saquon isn't necessarily ACL. I mean, with where medicine is now, it's
meniscus.
More when you... Exactly. When you heard meniscus is what does the cartilage look like on the other side of the meniscus?
You don't regrow cartilage.
It's a bad injury. You're telling me that. Bad injury.
That was the worst day of my life, I can promise you that. When the doctor's like, "Well, we can't fix that." I was like, "What do you mean you can't fix that? You're the doctors." No.
They didn't even try to microfracture it or anything?
No, they did. I went microfracture, that didn't work, and then I actually got a plug.
The plug is like a last ditch effort.
Yeah, I got a cartilage plug, but I still got a hole on the other side because I couldn't take my knee apart. Mess. All right, here we go. Which 0-2 team you think still has an opportunity to figure this thing out and make the playoffs? I'm going to give you the Minnesota Vikings. I'm going to give you the Atlanta Falcons. And I'm going to give you the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay, I'm going to start first. I'm going to go with the Falcons. Just because of this trio, I just have the most confidence in one of their identity as a team. Like with the Falcons, the offense is their identity. And they still have Matt Ryan, a former MVP, and they got Julio Jones, who's still in the conversation as the best wide receiver in the National Football League. So I feel more confident about their identity than any of those other two teams. Plus, they got a head coach that's on the hot seat that has to absolutely win. So if any of these three teams can pull out of the nosedive, it would be the Falcons. That's why I'm going to marry them. The second team I would go with would be the Eagles.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
Just by virtue of the division that they're in, I'm not scared of any of the teams. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys were a team that we thought had true title aspirations. And even after their win on Sunday over the Falcons, I'm still not that impressed with them as a team. So I think the Eagles, by default, have an opportunity just based on the division that they're in. So I'll cuddle them. And I'll trash the Vikings because I think they're a mess. Their offensive line is awful. Kirk Cousins is playing awful. And their defense just isn't the same. They've had to move on from some guys. And Danny Hunter's out of the lineup. So I think the Vikings are a mess right now.
All right. We agreed with the first one. We will not agree here. Not too far off, though. I'm going to marry, and you'll be surprised by this, Philadelphia.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
Not because I love the Eagles and not because I think they're great. I think
the division stinks.
Is really, really, really bad. The Giants stink. Washington is not very good. They looked awful on Sunday. And Dallas, if not for an absolute miracle, would be staring at 0-3 in the face if they have a trip out to Seattle this week. So I don't like Philadelphia at all. I don't think they're great. Their offensive line is a mess, but I'll marry them just because I think the division is just so bad. You know, I like Mike Zimmer. And for that, and I know that Kirk Cousins is not a great quarterback and their division is difficult, but I'm going to cuddle into Minnesota.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
I do not believe in Atlanta. I mean, how many times? And because they're so talented. That's a team that should not be looking like this. They should be a team that's an 8, 9, 10 win team. To lose that game, I don't know how you recover from that. They better this week. I don't know how you do. I will trash the Falcons.
All right, here we go. Dave, you're up first on this one.
Okay.
Fugazi 2-0 team. The Bears, the Cardinals, or the Las Vegas Raiders?
All right, I'm going to start at the bottom here. I'm going to trash. So the one that I believe is the most Fugazi. The most Fugazi starts at the top here, yes?
You're going to marry the most Fugazi, yes.
Okay, so I'm going to trash Arizona. I think they're legitimate. I do. I think he is really tough to stop. Hopkins is a major weapon. Their defense is pretty good, right? It's not like they have one receiver solely. I think that's a good football team. I think they're going to be a postseason team. So I will trash Arizona. I don't like either of the next two teams. I will.
This is not difficult.
Really? It is
no,
for me.
This is not difficult
I'm going to cuddle the Raiders.
Bombs and
but I don't think they're great by any stretch. If you look at their next three games, I think there's a pretty good chance they're staring 2-3 in the face. I do like John Gruden, and I do like Derek Carr a little bit as well, and I think that they're a team trending in the right direction. I'm sorry. This is why I thought the Giants would beat this team. I think the Bears stink. I think the Bears are a 7-win football team despite starting 2-0, so I will marry the Chicago Bears.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
Agreed across the board. Move on to the next category.
Wow. Oh, look at you guys. Nice and tight. This is midway through the season week at CMT. Hottest seat. And when I mean hot seat, I mean like this is the middle of the summer. It's me sitting on the cross Bronx in traffic kind of hot. That's how hot this seat is.
Is there a bottle? Do we have a bottle?
Oh, yeah. This is two times the bottle. I got the heated seat on just to keep my back loose so I don't tighten up.
Sitting on the bleachers in Arizona in the middle of the summer kind of hot.
That's just torture. I did that at Wrigley Field one time. I got booed because I stood up and I had such bad swamp swass that they were booing me. It was disgusting. It looked like I went down a water slide. Dan Quinn.
What's the question again?
Hottest seat. This is hottest seat.
Right.
This is sweating through your pants hot. Mm-hmm. Dan Quinn, Adam Gase, or Matt Patricia?
All right, I'm going to start with the worst of the worst. I'm going to go Adam Gase. I mean, quite frankly, he shouldn't have got a job 2 years ago when he was fired from the Miami Dolphins. I don't know what Chris Johnson was thinking, but Adam Gase's seat has to be hot. I mean, the team has looked awful. They're the worst team in the NFL. At least the other 31 teams look competent when they play, not the Jets. So for that reason, I got to say that he's got the hottest seat. I'm going to marry him. I am going to cuddle up to Dan Quinn.
Bombs and hellacious seats.
And here's the thing. Not that Matt Patricia isn't on the hot seat, but, I mean, with the Falcons, Dan Quinn has gotten rid of all his coordinators. They pretty much fired everybody else in the organization that has been associated with that team over the past 3 or 4 years. So, I mean, there's really no one else left. So Dan Quinn absolutely has to get it done. And Arthur Blank has made it clear that he's not going to ignore the fan base like he did last year, like he did coming off of the loss that they had in the Super Bowl. So he's on the second hottest seat of this trio. And then I'm going to trash Matt Patricia by default, not because I don't think he's on the hot seat, but just because I think the other two coaches' seats are hotter.
Yeah, I don't even think that what Adam Gase is on is a hot seat. Like, it's lava. He's sitting on, like, the floor is lava is what he's playing right now. So I'll agree. I don't want to waste time. Across the board, I agree with Chris.
All right, here we go. Last one. I didn't realize you guys were going to be this quick, but I got one left. Quarterback you're most concerned with after 2 weeks. I'm going to give you Kirk Cousins, Carson Wentz, or Drew Brees. Most concerned
about. Kirk Cousins, Carson Wentz, or Brees. All right, I'm going to tell you Carson Wentz, and I'll tell you why. So I will marry Carson Wentz.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
Because he's supposed to be really good. Like, of these three guys, in my mind, he clearly has the highest expectation, and he looks bad. So I'll marry Carson Wentz. I will cuddle Kirk Cousins.
Bombs and hellacious seats.
Because I think there's still expectations with him. And I will trash Drew Brees. You say, wait, how could you trash Drew Brees? Because I don't think he's good. So you say, who looks the worst? He should look the worst. I didn't think he was good last year. I thought he's the reason they kind of lost in the postseason. You could argue the last two seasons. So the fact that he continues to look bad at this advanced age when we know he's on the way out, I will trash Drew Brees.
One man's trash is another man's treasure. I'm going to marry Drew Brees
in terms of concern level.
Because here's the thing. Drew Brees was mulling over retirement, and Bill Parcells used to always say, if you're thinking about being retired, you are retired. Well, I kind of feel that way about Drew Brees. And the way that he's played in the playoffs the last 2 years, I didn't think there was much left in the tank. And last night's game only confirmed that. So I'm going to marry Drew Brees just from the expectations of the team. The Saints are supposed to be a title contender. That's the whole reason he came back. So I'm going to marry that one. I am going to cuddle Kirk Cousins. The Vikings gave him a contract extension this offseason because they felt like they had a Super Bowl contending team. A lot of people picked them as a dark horse Super Bowl candidate, and a lot of folks felt like they would win the NFC North. And based on how this team has looked, they've looked terrible. And they've had to move on from some key pieces, especially in the secondary, that because they paid Kirk Cousins. And so now Kirk Cousins looking the way that he is, yeah, I'm concerned about that team getting right. I'm concerned about Kirk Cousins, especially. I'm going to trash Carson Wentz just because I've seen high-end talent from Carson Wentz, and they have a Super Bowl-winning coach. Like, I know that at some point they'll figure it out, and I can also point to the offensive line troubles as to why Carson Wentz is struggling a little bit. So I'm not as worried about that one.
All right, there you go, boys. That is a Tuesday edition of CMT.
Terrific. Thursday, we'll do it again. Tomorrow, in observations. Friday, of course, is a football frenzy. I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go. Terrific CMT. Put me in a very good mood. We got all Andy from Merrick's questions right. You did a beautiful CMT. We're rolling along here today. Let's go to the phones. We'll get to the NBA in a moment. Nick and Brick. Nick, you're next up on 98.7.
What's up, boys? Big fans of the show. Couple things. I mean, with this Jets team, I'm just devastated as well. I mean, at the end of the day, like, you obviously knew, looking at the weapons, looking at the defense, what was going to happen. I'm kind of like a little flabbergasted that you guys are surprised that they're this bad. The thing is,
Nick, they look like they've never played football before. I don't think we're surprised they're 0-2. We're surprised that they're putrid to watch.
Sure. So, like, on the defensive side, here's the problem, right? You lost two of your best players. You lost probably the best safety in football and one of the top five best linebackers in football that aren't even playing. So that's like huge loss on the defense. And Chris said it yesterday, Avery Williamson, why is he not playing football right now? How many snaps? He had like 10 snaps or something.
That wasn't me. That was Bart. That wasn't me. That was Bart.
Oh, that was Bart. Yeah, my bad. That was Bart. Yeah. So like, I don't understand that aspect of it. And on the offside, on the offensive side, I mean, you lose your best player in Le'Veon Bell, which Adam Gibbs doesn't even know how to use him anyway. And then you have no one to throw the ball to. Jameson Crowder is a number one receiver. He's a number three receiver on an average team. And on top of all of it, I mean, this is obviously known. Gase does not get along with players for some reason. He doesn't connect with them. It happened in Miami. People don't like to play with him. The thing with Jarvis Landry, that was an issue. I just don't understand why you would bring a cancer to a team that needs to rebuild and a coach that sucks in the NFL and doesn't know what he's doing. It just clears that you're doing check down passes, you know, behind the line of scrimmage to hope that a guy, you know, breaks off a 50-yard run. You know, it's happened once. That's all he's doing is check downs and limiting Sam Darnold throwing the ball downfield. At least give it an opportunity to throw the ball downfield. I'm just such a miserable Jets fan. I hate this team. Every time after summer ends, it's football season. I'm up and ready to go. And then 2 weeks into the season, we got this garbage.
It's done.
I hate this.
And Nick, it's not even thanks to the call. It's not even that they're 0-2, Rick. At least I don't think so. It's just the fact that they are so bad. They look like they're not an NFL team through 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, we didn't sit here, you know, this entire time and say that the Jets are going to be a playoff team. I mean, I told you straight out I was less concerned about wins and losses and more concerned about the development of Sam Darnold. And the fact that he looked like especially in that first week that he regressed, and then what you saw from the defense in week two, it's embarrassing. You thought it could be bad, but no one expected it to look this bad.
Yeah, I don't think anybody expected that. And you're bringing up all the personnel issues, but that has nothing to do with guys getting cut out of their gap on the first play of the 49ers game and Raheem Mostert hitting his head on the goalpost. Like, it has nothing to do with talent. Talent has nothing to do with them having to delay a game penalty on the first play
after
of a possession.
A timeout.
Yeah, talent has nothing to do with that. Those are the things that we're pointing to, and we're saying this team is incompetent. They're inept. And that has to do with the head coach. That's all coaching. When you talk about how penalized the Jets are, the turnovers that we saw in the first game, like that all speaks to coaching. The decisions that Adam Gase is making, like his game management overall, it's awful.
So, not good.
I mean, you know, that's the part that probably bothers me, and it should bother Jets fans the most because it doesn't have to be that way.
You know what?
You can be a team that doesn't have a lot of talent and still find a way to compete.
Yeah, you can play hard. I mean, everyone thought Jacksonville was actively tanking. And they've been, I mean...
They could be 2-0.
The Colts found out the hard way. That ain't true.
Exactly right. But you know the one thing I took away from having Mike Tannenbaum on, besides the fact that, you know, Baltimore usually is popping, is what he said about that defense. We all agree that Greg Williams can coach, correct?
Yes.
Okay, but the point that Mike Tannenbaum brought up was that the Shanahans, for 30 years, that's how they run the football. It almost like reinforced that it felt like a coup. Like week two's performance felt like a coup to get rid of Adam Gase is what it felt like. Because Greg Williams usually has his team, defensively, they're usually prepared. And for that to happen, it's awful. That seems
out of
character.
But how about week one against a team that you should be as familiar with as any team that you play, and you come out and it looks like you have no idea what they're trying to do?
Well, I didn't think the defense
wasn't
awful.
Good.
No, it wasn't good. I mean, they're overmatched. I mean, their secondary is not good. And they put no pressure. They don't get much pressure on the quarterback, especially when he's a mobile quarterback. I mean, they struggle. But I don't know. I know that Greg Williams can coach. I don't know if Adam Gase can coach.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.